Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Chaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome back in hour number two here on The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday. It's always weird to me how different our individual lives can be. Like, I see Dirt every day. I see Swag every day. I see other coworkers every day. And I'll come in, and I came in today, and I'm thinking, God, it's already Thursday. I got Friday tomorrow. Big weekend of sports. This is flying by. My Vietnam trip's coming up.
Yeah.
Well, friend of the show, Kyle Knepper, just comes on over. Hi, guys.
Just a fun buzzsaw.
Slow week, huh?
Like, no, man.
Slow week.
It's like, yeah. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. I'm out of here. I got two pilot games in California this week. I'm trying to do 3 days worth of work before I leave.
We got Thursday Night Football tonight.
It's
amazing
to me how different.
Beans play tomorrow.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, somebody can have such a fast week.
Yeah.
And somebody else can have such a slow week.
We don't work normal jobs. I think that's part of it. This isn't really a job. So, if we were slugging away for like 9 hours in an office,
what if I told you
slightly different?
Sure, but what if I told you that if we were mandated to be here more, we could also take like a 2-hour lunch?
I would do that every day.
What?
Wait, what?
2 hour? Huh?
What? Huh? What?
Excuse me?
Can I watch YouTube
what
2 hour
lunch? I am here nine hours a day. I don't get a 2 hour lunch.
You need to take a 2 hour lunch.
Take a 2 hour lunch, man. Go get some food.
My 2 hour lunch is this show. That's my 2 hour lunch.
I'm actually probably the worst. If some of the people in charge here found out what I say to coworkers, they probably would actually not like me at all.
Yeah, you're a bad
I'm a bad influence because I'll be in a break room and somebody from the sales department will come in and be like, how's it going? And I'll be like, pretty good. How you doing? They're like, well, I've been here since yada yada. I'm like, well, why don't you just go take like an extended lunch? And like, what? And I'm like, just say you have a meeting.
Yeah,
go take an extra lunch.
Go home. Walk
come
around
back.
Your house. Catch up on a couple of Netflix shows. And we'll see you this afternoon, man.
Go recharge the batteries. Come back in at 2 and finish strong your last 2-3 hours.
And I'm excited, man. I'm going to Bend this weekend. A little Bend getaway. There's no Duck game. It's like my first weekend not working in like 2 months. Something like that.
So where are you going to watch the LSU-Bama game? Do you know?
Probably in the room. That was like my one mandate was like, hey, can I watch one game on Saturday? She was like, yeah, you can watch one game.
So are you at like a rental vacation house? Are you in a lodge?
No, we stayed at a hotel because we've been doing the Bendale Trail thing for years. So I just booked at the same hotel.
There you go.
It's like right in downtown Bend. It's easy.
It's a perfect hotel.
Yeah, you park and you can walk around. We do, though, have to.
Can you drop by the COCC campus, see if my son's doing okay?
Yeah,
I like hear from him like
he's
once
probably
going to
run into him at the bar.
I get a text or something. No,
hey,
probably
nice
not.
Fake ID,
nice
dude.
Fake ID.
I thought you were only 18 years old.
Got a little swag here.
Didn't think I'd see in here at Sun River Brewing Company. What are
you
doing here?
You can't miss the big, tall, skinny ginger, can you?
Yeah, we have to finish, though, the wedding invite list this weekend.
In Bend? Why can't you do that Sunday?
Well, I figured, because I don't want to like sit down and do it at home. Yeah. So I told her.
That's a nice thing to do while you're distracted.
While we're driving, I was like, hey, you get the list.
Oh, okay.
You can, you know, hey,
in
what
the car.
This person, that person. Yeah. It's a 3.5 hour drive or whatever. So we got to do that.
Yes, no, no, yes.
Yes,
who's
no,
that?
No.
Wait,
what?
Who's that?
How many people are coming? Jesus. I got to pay for all this?
You better give me a good seat. I'll tell you that much right now. Better give me a good seat.
I'll put you in the back of the kids' table.
I'm okay with that. I'll dominate that table. You know what's funny is if you did run into Little Swag, you remember that scene in There's Something About Mary
when Matt Dillon's character catches on to the ritzy, stuck-up...
he finds out he's a pizza delivery guy. Yeah,
yeah, and he approaches him, and he cowers down. He hands his pizza ID, and it's him looking way different. Imagine if Little Swag's kid, you run into him at a bar, and it's an ID from Swag when he was like 17.
A Swigard college ID from Puget
Some
Sound.
Pimples here, longer hair. Just smiling with the eyes closed.
No, that won't do him any good. I had braces up until my senior year of high school.
So how'd that work in band?
I mean, it didn't stop him.
Inside of the lips got chewed up from time to time, not going to lie.
By women or the instrument?
No, by the braces inside your lips.
Yeah.
You got to,
What's the mouth movement?
The mouthpiece.
But isn't there like
your embouchure?
Embouchure. There you go. Yeah, you got to get the right embouchure.
Good Lord. You guys are saying words I've never heard of before.
Nerd alert.
Okay. Let's bring it back. We got a loaded second hour, a lot to get to.
Reel it back in.
Some big news for Oregon State that we'll talk about. But let's start with Cam Newton.
Okay.
You sent the email last night, and I know Cam Newton's been injured, but officially season over, put on the IR, the foot injury wasn't going away, shoulder didn't really look all that's the same either, dealing with some nagging injuries, Kyle Allen stepped in. I think they've only lost one game with Kyle Allen, the Niners?
I believe the Niners are the only game, because they bounced back and beat Tennessee. They have a tough one, though, this weekend. I'll look it up, but I remember I was looking at lines this weekend. It was like, I might bet against them this weekend.
But people are concluding, because he has 1 year left and like 20-some million, that Cam Newton is done in Carolina. Now,
yes.
If we're going off that assumption, what teams do you think should be knocking on the door versus do we even think Cam Newton can lead said teams to winning again?
God, it's so tough to answer, man, because he's been essentially hurt for two straight seasons now. He was a shell of himself, I think, last year. No matter how you feel about Cam Newton and how good of a quarterback you think he is, you watch him last year and it was painful, especially at the end of the year. I remember being in Charlotte and they played a game against New Orleans towards the end of the year on like Monday night or Thursday night. My brother's turned into a big Panther fan, so we were watching it, and it was just like he couldn't throw the football 15 yards. It was awful. It reminded me of Peyton Manning in that final Super Bowl run where he coincidentally beat Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. It just, you knew he wasn't the same guy, and the shoulder surgery happened, and you thought, okay, maybe he'll be able to recover that a little bit. And the initial rumors were he was going to miss the entire year, but now he's dealing with this foot thing, and it's been a weird back and forth behind the scenes. We never really talked about it, but he did like a fireside chat video that was like the most random thing of all time.
Oh, we never played that audio, did we?
No, like he's sitting, he filmed himself smoking a Piper's or a cigar.
No, he's smoking a cigar in a robe with a glass of wine, shades on in the dark.
Yeah, with like a big tall top hat on.
And a spotlight on him, and he's just sitting there lamenting for 15 to 20 minutes about his career and his life.
What is this, man? And he in that video, he said, you know, I could play if I had to, but I don't know what the ramifications would be. And then you saw the headlines come out in the following weeks, like Cam Newton's getting closer, he's getting closer. And now the news, I mean, he's just done for the year, and they're going to try and get out of that contract next year. He's got one more year left. You mentioned it's about $20 million. So it makes sense for, I think, both sides to move on. I think there's interesting questions, really, from both angles. One is you're asking, does Cam Newton have anything left in the tank? As of right now, I would say no. But maybe his body's different after essentially two full seasons off. I know he played last year, but a full season at least this year being off. But also the interesting question for Carolina, like, is Kyle Allen just the guy? You just rolling with Kyle Allen now? I know you got him on a rookie deal, so you can save money there, but
yeah,
is that your franchise quarterback?
I'm not going that far yet.
Right? We haven't seen enough.
He's shown good glimpses, and he's also in this like this streak of winning games and only losing one. You go look at some of the stats, it's not like he's throwing for 330 yards and three touchdowns here.
No.
Christian McCaffrey has largely carried them offensively. He's helped. I think he's shown what Carolina's potential is. And I think that pisses me off the most as a sports fan because...
Sure, you picked him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a dark horse thing, and I'm kind of thinking out of the box, but you watch like DJ Moore or Samuel play, and then you watch Christian McCaffrey, and you still got Greg Olsen out there. And defensively, I think their defense has also been probably the more overlooked one. Now, I know San Francisco dropped a 51 spot on them, but outside of San Francisco, they've played better defense. Cam Newton after Carolina, one, would be really weird. I know what his reputation is, how people feel about him. He's a polarizing athlete. I'm assuming, and I'm going off assumption here, you've been there. The community seems to love him. Am I wrong?
Yes.
I am wrong.
No, you're not wrong. They do love him.
Okay,
Sorry, it was like a true or false question. It confused me. I was like, yeah, they do love him. Wait,
both.
What? No.
Both. Right. Wrong.
Well, but he does a lot of great things in the community. Yeah. I love the touchdown, give the ball to a kid. Like, he's got his teammates doing it.
Yeah, I will say, though, I think it has changed slightly in the last 2 years or so. I think early on they gave him, it was like rookie quarterback. He set the touchdown record. He had some good seasons here and there. They made the playoffs. He went to a Super Bowl. He won an MVP. But you're talking that we're, what, 4 years removed from that, right? Wasn't that like 2015?
2015, yeah.
You're 4 years removed from that. You look at his numbers the last 3 years or so. We all thought North Turner getting in there was going to like change it. And his completion percentage was going to shoot through the roof, and it just necessarily hasn't. So I think maybe the vibe now is different than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
The North Turner one, though, Barnwell wrote about this a while back. If you go look at the numbers pre the shoulder injury, he was throwing around 67, 68%, which was a career high.
They were like 5-1 to start the year last year.
And I was going to say, he points out they were 5-1. He gets banged up, and I think they got to 6-2, and then they went completely in the dump. He wasn't healthy. He was still playing, which in itself is actually hurting a team when you do that. And his completion, all his stats just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what team, and mainly Chicago gets this because Chicago's kind of the one team we all throw out with this.
Sure.
If you can find the right offensive fit, if that's a guy that teams should still take a gamble on, sign him to a 3-year deal, give him that guaranteed money that he's going to want, and say, we can win with Cam Newton. Because you could say he wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He wasn't a top five quarterback. What you can't say, the dude won.
Yeah, he did.
Carolina largely has won with Cam Newton. So,
yeah, and he won an MVP and he got him to a Super Bowl.
So that's a positive that another team could be looking
at. Here's what I will say about Cam. I think he would have to prove his ability to still run the football. Because Cam Newton, without the ability to run with his size and his strength, no thanks, man. I would rather roll the dice with a guy like Mariota if I'm Chicago and just see what he still has left in the tank. I think Cam Newton, he's shown you over his career what he is as a pocket passer. And I'm not saying Mariota's great by any stretch of the imagination. He got benched in some part because he didn't develop. But Cam Newton's inability to run the ball, like, that was the most telling thing early in the season. They had a 4th and goal against Tampa, I think it was 4th and goal, a 2-point conversion, whatever it was, and they elected to not have him run the football. They ran like a weird toss, and McCaffrey took it to the side. He got stopped. I mean, that's Cam Newton's MO right there. He does that throughout his career. So if he's unable to run because of this injury, and it's one of those long-term things, he's just not dynamic in that regard. No thanks. I'm going to pass on that. He has to prove to me that foot is healthy. Because if he can still run around and make plays with his legs, I can live with him being a 59% completion percentage guy from the pocket. You know, he's a little limited in the passing game. I can live with that if he can run around and make plays. But if you take that away from his game too, yeah, no thanks, man. And there really isn't that many teams that stand out that you say, ooh, they could use a quarterback. Because most of the bad ones are going to be drafting a guy. Miami, Cincinnati.
There's one that I don't know if he'll end up there because of the circumstance. There's one I just thought of that might actually end up being a great fit. Tampa Bay.
Would you rather have Cam Newton or Jameis Winston?
Cam Newton.
Okay.
I'll take my chances with Cam Newton. I think you can sign Jameis to a 1-year deal anyway on the roster, keep him as a backup. You got weapons there, and Bruce Arians likes having good quarterbacks. Cam Newton could have a restart if he is healthy and coming back that way. I think that's one of the teams. I know Chicago's obvious, and obviously another one.
Yeah, because they're not going to be bad enough to get a top five, top right. 10 pick. So unless there's a guy they like later in the first round that they can draft, or they're willing, even though they don't have draft picks, because they use a lot of them to get Khalil Mack, you have to mortgage the future to move up. He could get a Joe Flacco kind of run, you know, like Denver, who they drafted Drew Lock, I believe.
Drew Lock out of Missouri.
And he's not playing yet, but they were like, hey, give us the veteran guy for 1 year as a stopgap. So maybe there's some situations like that out there. But in terms of looking for a franchise quarterback, there's just not a lot of them right now.
All right, coming up next, great news for Oregon State. We'll tell you the latest from the Beavers next on The Fan. Hey, we got a little bit of breaking news out of Corvallis, Oregon. According to multiple reports, mainly with our Andrew Nimick, the recruiting insider, his show is tonight as well, 7 o'clock.
Oh, something to talk about tonight.
The Oregon State Beavers have landed Charles Moore, the Auburn freshman defensive lineman transfer and nation's number 6 defensive end. He is enrolled in school. He is going to be at the game tomorrow in sweats. And Nimick's got a link on it. We've all put it out there on the Fan account, our show account. You can find it there. But the Beavs get some huge defensive line help potentially for them next year. Something to bear in mind. And we shouldn't be shocked by this come August or September. If this becomes a storyline, Nemec points out he had trouble staying academically eligible. So that's something to monitor. But
got to get those grades up.
The Beavs, nonetheless, get the nation's number six defensive end and Charles Moore transfer from Auburn.
Dude, this is awesome. And it sounds like Nemec is saying that he didn't even really, like, there wasn't even really an effort on Oregon State's side. Like, he just
doesn't appear to really be a recruiting thing. It just, hey, I want to play here.
I want to come to Oregon State. You got any room for me? They were like, hell yeah, come on board. And now he's already officially enrolled. And
can I tell you what he really thought?
What did he think?
Charles Moore here.
Okay.
I need to go to a school that can play. I need to get a lot of minutes, and I can make an impact. I also need to go to a school that allowed Brandon Sprague to study nothing and get a degree. Oregon State, baby.
That's the place for me.
If you're not doing agriculture, pharmacy, or business, Oregon State's the school for you to get by.
Dude, this is awesome, man. Oregon State's got a lot of momentum going right now on the field, and you hope it continues. It's going to be a tough stretch the rest of the way starting tomorrow night. We're going to have a lot on that game against the Huskies. But to continue it off the field, I think, is really big. And that, look, the Devin Williams one is always going to hurt, but now that you've gotten a couple of recruits since then, I think it's allowed you at least to move on and say that's a one-off. It was a weird situation. For whatever reason, he rushed into it. They reported it too early. Who knows? But you now have...
Stop with the jokes at the text line, you jerks. They're keeping him. He's not going to Eugene, I don't think.
You have now landed one of the top JUCO defensive backs in the country, which is big because I think that's a rank in which Jonathan Smith can really attack. And I've said it since the day he got hired. If you want this thing to be sped up, if you want the wins to come a little bit sooner, transfer portal is your friend. This is why I love the transfer portal in college football. I think a lot of these big-time programs and big-time coaches are scared of it, and a lot of the coaches like Jonathan Smith love it because you get kids that go to places like Auburn or Alabama. Either they don't like it, they don't fit into the rotation right away, it's just not the right fit for them, whatever. Maybe they're not academically eligible. They don't want to wait around once they get there and they realize they got to wait around 3 years to play. They say, man, screw this. I got 4 years of eligibility. I want to play some college football. I'm going to go to the NFL in a couple years anyways. Where can I go play right away? And that is the way that Oregon State has really been able to capitalize, is getting kids to say, man, there's not a lot of people in your way. And that's not a knock to Oregon State, but it's just a reality. He's got a chance to go in there and be a starting defensive lineman next year, make an impact in Corvallis, and then jump to the NFL in 2 years if he wants to. This is big news for Oregon State.
This is a tough question to answer, but they've already won 4 games. They have such a big game tomorrow night, and I'm starting to kind of lean towards the Huskies are going to show up and play, because I think they've heard now for 2 days and maybe all week. Yeah, right. You guys can't win. Your season's over. You have nothing to play for. Now you're going down to Corvallis on a Friday night, trap game. I don't know about all that yet, but they have a huge matchup. There potentially could be some big news during that game as well. You've got Charles Moore as an announcement. Are we getting close, or have we clipped past the Gary Anderson momentum excitement stage for Beaver fan? Because if you add something like this,
yeah,
you add doubling up the win projection total, maybe getting your fifth win tomorrow night and that opportunity, what that means for the program. And, well, by the way, the coach isn't an outsider. He's your Fiesta Bowl quarterback who has journeyed his way back to Corvallis to be the head coach.
Yes, I think having the fear, look, I know that wound probably still hurts for Beaver fans. Jonathan Smith is not a scumbag. I don't think you have that to fear. This is not going to fall off after one season. It's not all fake hype. You've watched Oregon State. They're a much better football team. And a lot of their guys, I mean, look, there's going to be some key replacements. Jake Luton has had a phenomenal season. You need to find your quarterback next year, whether it's Jebbia or somebody else. You got to figure that out. You know, a guy like Hodgins could jump to the NFL, and I wouldn't blame him at all if he wanted to. But if he's back next year, a lot of your other guys are going to be back. Jamar Jefferson, I know he's been banged up, but he bounced back big last weekend. He's only a sophomore. He's going to be back next year. You're returning a lot of guys. And as long as Jonathan Smith continues to hit the transfer portal, which he should, and he's done a great job of it so far in 2 years, they're going to be just fine. This is a big step. They have jumped from being the worst team in the conference or the second worst, and now they're in that upper tier above that, and now it becomes about just continuing to show signs of progress.
But see, even with the transfer portal there, and he's clearly hitting it, I think the important part about the transfer portal is not only do you bring in talent that has given glimpses or shown that they can play on this level, and some of these are names that if you follow recruiting, you know. Some people, when I said Charles Moore, might have been like, holy crap, I remember that name. I don't know anything about these kids, but I think the transfer portal highlights two things. It addresses immediate need, And then I think it also elevates the competition within your own locker room and your program.
For sure.
You know, you bring in, this year they brought in a defensive lineman, linebacker, a wide receiver.
Quarterback Jebbia.
You know, they brought those guys in, and I think everybody was accepting of them within the locker room, but I think also the locker room went, I was recruited to play here. You got these people coming in thinking they're going to play. Okay, let's go. And it's kind of a sneaky good thing. And I wonder if it's something, I don't know if you'd ever publicly talk about it, but I wonder if Smith saw this when Erickson was doing it. When Erickson got there, took over for Riley in, what was that swag,
99?
When he got there and he started bringing in some of the JUCOs, because those teams, they get lauded as just JUCO players when, in fact, a lot of the contributors were also recruits.
Sure.
They were Mike Riley guys that, okay, we got a new coach. I wonder if he saw that firsthand as a player, where he'd see like a defensive player come in and he would watch other defensive players be nice and welcoming, but also feel like they're being challenged a little bit. So
yeah.
I think he's also developing the talent that's been recruited.
Without a doubt.
Jamar Jefferson, that's a recruit, right? Art Pierce wasn't his recruit, but that was a recruit. Jake Luton was a transfer, but he's been in the system now.
He's grown
this year
a ton under Jonathan Smith.
The offensive line, how well they've been coached up. I kind of look at this as a win-win for Oregon State. If you don't get production from a transfer, okay, if that's fine. They're not getting production from all their transfers this year, and they're having a better season than we thought that they would.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of it's touching on two things they need: immediate help and depth. And then you're also kind of elevating the competition and kind of the fire within your own locker room of, guys, we'll replace you with somebody that isn't familiar with us.
Yeah, you don't want to just have to play somebody because he's the only person that you have at that position, right? I mean, you want there to be competition in the locker room. That's always a positive. I don't care if guys are butthurt that somebody's coming in from Auburn or Oklahoma or Nebraska. You think you're better than them? That's fine. Go win the job. It's always a better position to be in when you have multiple guys to pick from of who you want to start. And not to mention, in case of an injury, you now have more depth because you're bringing more bodies in, as opposed to maybe in year one when you didn't have that. Guys are going down and you got a mash unit in your secondary and on defense, and you're giving up 50 points a game. Now you got a little more depth on that side of the ball. You can overcome injuries. You have other guys that you trust. You can rotate players in and out. That's been the biggest thing, I think, honestly, at Oregon from year one to year two under Cristobal, is his ability to rotate guys in and out, to keep guys fresh throughout the course of the game, that you have a tight end go down or a defensive end go down. It doesn't derail your offense or your defense. All right, it sucks. You'd rather have them, but you got bodies that can replace them, play at a high level, and Oregon State's getting to that point. This is the transfer portal, to me, is always going to be viewed upon as such a positive for programs like Oregon State. It just really is. And it's not just them.
The players as well.
I mean, the players are getting a chance now to enter the portal, look around, figure out where you want to go. And in this case, it sounds like there wasn't even a recruitment, which I think is even better news for Oregon State. The fact that it wasn't a hard recruitment of him. He looked around and said, man, they look like they're heading in the right direction. It looks like a good staff. They know what they're doing. Maybe he knows a couple of guys on the team. He jumps in, and now he's going to get a chance to play. Big thing for him is going to be getting the grades up. We had somebody text in, I don't know this for a fact, but I'll take his word for it, that Auburn isn't necessarily a juggernaut academically.
I don't know anything.
So if he's not academically eligible at Auburn, there's an issue there. You want to make sure he figures that out. But this isn't this year. I mean, you got time now. You're going to be counting on him next season. And I saw Kerry Ager's report. We don't know how many years of eligibility necessarily he's going to have left. But you hope you get the grades together. You got a year or two for this guy to play. Clearly a highly touted kid. Big, big pickup for Oregon State.
You just hope that he's eligible when he can play next year. But if you're just tuning in, Charles Moore, it was just announced that he's going to transfer to Oregon State. He's actually already at OSU. He'll be on the sidelines this weekend in the team-issued gear. Nemec put a story out. He'll be on tonight at 7 o'clock after primetime, and I'm sure he's going to dive right into this and what it means and what the future of recruiting for Oregon State could be. Because remember, we're only, 4 weeks away from the signing day?
It's a month away, man.
We're right there. So Oregon State picking up another transfer. I know the jokes are there. I don't believe this one's going to Oregon.
No, I don't believe so.
But that Devin Williams tweet is still up, and that's embarrassing.
Well, this, by the way, one last quick thing on this. This isn't the only big-time defensive line prospect to come to the conference. We didn't bring it up the other day, but Alabama had a kid. Alfano, I think, was his last. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was one of the highest-rated recruits in the country. went to Alabama and just after a couple weeks was like, screw this, I don't like it here. Didn't like Saban for whatever reason, it didn't work. He just bounced out of the program. Everybody's like, huh, is he still there? What's going on? He ended up transferring to Colorado. So two of the bigger defensive line recruits in the country going from Auburn and Alabama to Colorado and Oregon State.
I think the best news about that, one, Alabama and programs like that are always going to have too much depth for some of these four and five-star kids.
I got too many of them to count.
Mainly the four-star ones, but as you mentioned with the transfer portal, you have so many avenues now where programs like OSU can welcome them in. Colorado welcoming that kid in, play him right away.
That's huge.
Programs, this is your spot. Come in. Yeah. All right, coming up next, we'll pivot from Oregon State and college football to the NFL. We got a lot in the NFL going on. NFL news or notes is next on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in 1:32. Hope your Thursdays are going well. We got to make our picks in the National Football League coming up at 2 o'clock.
Did we have good weekends?
We had, let me pull it up right here.
I never look at the results. You guys always just, when you talk about them, that's when I find out.
You and I had 8, Swigart had 7. That's what we did last week.
What was the high score?
I think it was 9. It was an average week last week. The week before, we all were eating
en fuego. Yeah.
Like Ezekiel Elliott, just spoon-feeding those dubs.
Did we have a couple listeners that went perfect last week?
That week, we did, I believe. Yeah, we had a couple listeners that went 15 for 15 or 14 for 14, whatever it was, with the bye week. So we'll make those picks coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to have a lot, by the way, on Oregon State tomorrow. That's a Friday night game. Attendance questions, just how people feel about a weeknight game, and then, of course, the matchup itself. It's going to be a fun one to talk about tomorrow. Did you guys see that Antonio Brown is back at it today?
I was trying to do anything I could to not bring that up during the show.
Okay, we don't have to talk about it. Well, he tweeted.
He's done, bro. Why would any franchise, no matter what you need, why do you bring him in? What do you benefit from having Antonio Brown come into your locker room and be a jackass?
He's a really good receiver.
He doesn't play because he's always suspended.
It's been reported that a number of teams kicked the tires on him. Seattle was the most recent one. They signed Josh Gordon, what was that, on Friday, whatever it was, and it was reported that they kicked the tires on him. Well, Josina Anderson reported this morning that he's meeting with the NFL next Wednesday or Thursday, or next Thursday, whatever it is. He's meeting with the NFL next week to try and give his side of all the lawsuits that he's facing and basically say, hey, can you clear my name so a team can go out there and sign him? Because the NFL is not going to put him on the commissioner exempts list as a free agent, but they've warned all teams that if you sign him, if the investigation gets to that point, you might not even be able to play him. So it was reported like, hey, Antonio Brown meeting with the NFL next week. Well, then he went to Twitter today and
Told him to F off.
He told the NFL to F off.
He said, why would I sweat and work hard for you guys? It's like,
he said, clear my name and go F yourself.
Yeah, so. I mean, great. Go play in the XFL. Go play in the CFL. Go do a reality show. I don't know what he's going to do. I could see reality TV actually being in his future because say what you want. He's somebody you probably want to watch because you don't know what he's going to do or say.
Yeah.
But if I'm in the NFL and I just, it would be a total Cleveland Brown move to go sign him. That's about the only team I could see doing it at this point.
God, add him to OBJ and Jarvis Landry with Baker Mayfield.
To that situation?
Dear Lord. So there's your Antonio Brown update. Speaking of guys who got in trouble, have you paid attention at all to the fact that Kareem Hunt is back?
I did. I saw that today because somebody had a start or sit him. And I saw Kareem Hunt's name, and I go, oh, the suspension's lifted,
That's
baby.
That's right. He's back in the conversation. So he is he's back playing this weekend. 8-game suspension. They're at home against Buffalo. So they're gonna need him with the way things are going. A couple other storylines. It sounds like Patrick Mahomes is going to play this weekend. Remember, he was pretty close last week, and everybody kind of said, well, really? You're going to rush him back that quick? But even if you saw, I don't know if you saw the end of the game, but they hit the game-winning field goal.
I saw it, yeah.
He jumped. He was running around on the field and stuff. He was all fired up that they won the game. So he looked healthy in that regard. But now it sounds like he's getting more practice, and Patrick Mahomes will be back playing this week. And they face, where do they play this? They are on the road in Tennessee. On the road in Tennessee.
Hey, look, this is great news whether you're a Chiefs fan or not. Even if you're a team that's going against the Chiefs in the division or the AFC, I think we all benefit and win when Patrick Mahomes is playing football because I'd rather watch Patrick Mahomes out there than almost any quarterback in the entire league.
Also, shout out to Matt Moore, man. He played really well in those 2 weeks without him.
He did. He did. He almost, who did they lose that first game to?
Well, they beat Denver on Thursday night in the game he got hurt, and then he beat Green Bay. Lost to Green Bay. And then he beat Minnesota. That Green Bay game was back and forth.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were getting run out of the building.
Yeah, so there's one to keep an eye on. Another injury note, that this has been weird, and at this point it sounds like he's just not going to play this year. AJ Green is going like the Michael Scott snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. Was going to play and then did an interview today essentially saying he's not going to play. Reported he was in. Now he's reporting himself that he's not in, not going to play this weekend.
Well, Zach Taylor has come out to the media multiple times now and talked about how AJ Green's going to practice and he's looking like he's ready to be suited up and playing this weekend. And I think the both times those stories have come out, AJ Green doesn't practice, and then AJ Green tells the media he's not going to play. To me, this is just one of those. Cincinnati had an opportunity. They're the only team that hasn't won a game. They are not going to suddenly be a good team. They've been banged up. Their quarterback, Andy Dalton, has shown kind of just who he truly is in the NFL, which isn't horrible. He's going to be a backup his whole career. And I think the problem with Cincinnati, though, they won't lean into the tank like Miami did. And they could have gotten some value for A.J. Green. And now A.J. Green's going to end up just leaving.
Now, he's a free agent this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, free agent this offseason.
And
off-season.
They could have traded him. A team could have said, yeah, we'd love to have A.J. Green. Because some people are speculating. This is just speculation. But they think he's actually been able to play physically for about 3 weeks now. And if that ends up being true and he ever comes out and talks about that, I think Cincinnati's going to look back, kicking themselves, going, why didn't we just give in to being 0-6 and trading A.J. Green and getting some value instead of him saying, hey, thanks for everything, I'm leaving. Because right now, why would A.J. Green want to come back to the Bengals?
Yeah, at this point, man, he's got nothing to play for the rest of the season. He's going to get healthy, go out there, get that contract in the offseason. He's older, too. I mean, people forget. I think he's 31. Like, he's getting up there.
Oh, is he already 31?
I believe so. Let me look it up to make sure. But I
remember watching him in college.
Right? I mean, he's a little bit older. Yeah, he's 31 years old. He was the number four pick in 2011. So he's been in the league now 8 years. So he's going to sit out again this weekend, it sounds like, and likely move on. But that's been a weird one to follow back and forth. Another guy who could be getting shut down, or not could, but is getting shut down the rest of the year, the Trent Williams story. Now, we brought that one to you last week where he was holding out, one in the new contract, one out of Washington. The trade deadline came and went. It sounded like they were asking too much, whatever. They couldn't come to an agreement to trade him. So then he reported. But then as he was reporting, he talked to reporters for the first time, and he told them that the team had missed a cancer diagnosis. He had a rare form of cancer growing on his head. He had to have a tumor removed that almost got into his brain. It was nearly a really bad situation. And he's been dealing with that now over the last handful of years. And so he's always held it against the Redskins, part of the reason he wanted out of Washington, on top of the fact that they wouldn't give him the contract that he wanted. The Redskins have placed him on their reserve non-football injury list, ending his season. So he will not play this year after all that.
He's probably getting what he wants, right? He's still going to get his money. He's maybe going to miss a couple bucks because he didn't actually start or play in some of those games. You know, those contracts can be. But this dude hates that organization. He wants whatever he can do to get out of it, and representing them, I think he wants. Yeah, you know, Washington, say what you want about Miami. I have no clue. What is the read on Washington? At least with Miami, I can tell you they're tanking for Tua. They went all in on losing as many games as they could.
They got as many draft picks as they could.
I think Cincinnati tried to win, and I think 4 or 5 weeks in, they realized they're just not good at all, and now they've kind of leaned into it. I don't know what Washington is. Does Washington think they're going to be good next year, 2 years? Have they accepted what their fate is? Because by all accounts, it seems Bruce Allen, their president slash GM, and Dan Snyder are best buds. That's the only reason Bruce Snyder has not been fired, or Bruce Allen has not been fired by Dan Snyder, is because they're best friends. They love to hang out.
And I believe he went, or his kids like went to the same high school as Dwayne Haskins. So it was like a whole relationship thing. That was a big reason why they wanted to draft him in the first place.
So you got something like that plan. I just don't know. Of all the franchises, they're kind of one of the, do you know what they're doing? I'm genuinely curious if there's another franchise you can name that's that way. What team in your mind you look at and you go, I don't know what you're doing. Even Atlanta, as bad as Atlanta has been, Dan Quinn's going to get fired. And they still will have talent. You can bring the right coach in and probably win next year. I don't know what Washington's doing.
Yeah,
not at all.
To me, Washington and Cincinnati are in the same category. I get your point about Cincinnati not maybe they came into the year thinking that they were going to win and then realizing 4 or 5 weeks in it wasn't going to work. They still could have dealt people before the deadline.
Sure,
and to hold on to guys before the trade deadline was just stupid. They don't have that many draft assets moving forward. If you're going to tank, you might as well blow it up like Miami. Both of them aren't winning any games. Well, Miami has now won a game, but at least they have draft capital moving forward, and they don't have that. So I'm with you. I don't know what the direction either of them are going, but there's your latest for he's sitting out the rest of the year. Put him on the football injury list. And the last one, this is probably the most Baker Mayfield story of all time. We didn't talk about this. He shaved 3 times during the game on Sunday.
Did you see why he shaved one of the times?
He said that he doesn't deserve a handlebar mustache. His play was not up to the standard of a handlebar mustache. If you didn't see it,
Why are you thinking about that? He
showed up to the stadium with a full beard because there's pictures of him walking off the bus into the stadium. He had a full beard.
Yep.
Then he comes out in the first half for warm-ups, and he has a handlebar mustache. And so there's pictures of him warming up before the game playing. He's got the handlebar stash going. And then he walked up to his post-game press conference with just a mustache. So he's shaved the handlebars off.
Yeah, and the fact that he even thought about that after getting their ass kicked by Denver. Of all teams starting Brandon Allen, the Denver Broncos just worked him. The fact that you went to the locker room and you were thinking about what you deserve mustache-wise, look, I will fully support any athlete in my lifetime if they want to speak out. It doesn't mean I have to agree with what they say.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I always think they're going to be great. I have been very, very supportive of Baker. I've gotten destroyed at the text line for it.
Yeah.
This is idiotic. This sums up Cleveland season. He lost and played terribly against the Denver Broncos, who were starting a quarterback not even Broncos fans knew existed. And his thought in the locker room after losing was, you're not deserving of this mustache. They are not helping him whatsoever. But I continue to be more amazed, Dirt, at the fact that every day I get in my car, the Cleveland Browns are talked about for a half hour. I'm like, they're 2-6.
They're an awful football
team. What are we talking about anymore?
They're
a bad team. Move on.
Yeah, he said he was undefeated in his career through football when he had the handlebar mustache. So it was his good luck charm.
Mm.
He never lost a game with the bars on the stash.
Gotcha.
And then Sunday he lost. He said, yeah, I didn't deserve it, man. I never lost a game. I don't deserve the bars right now.
So somebody's going to make a bunch of memes out of his when he's at the stadium in those commercials mowing or saying bye to everybody.
Yeah, cleaning up the stands afterwards.
People are going to make a lot of memes out of those commercials if he's going to end up not succeeding as a franchise guy. new job, and it's him mowing the lawn.
That is the most Baker Mayfield thing of all time. He shaved his handlebar mustache because he didn't deserve it. He shaved before the game, shaved during the game, and here we are. He now has a mustache. One last quick one. Des Bryant tweeted that he has something left in the tank and he's looking to get signed. Would you want your team to take a chance with Des Bryant?
I would be okay with a team taking a chance.
You'd have to have the right quarterback. Like maybe Roethlisberger could handle him in Pittsburgh.
He never even played a snap last year, did he, with New Orleans? And he got hurt in practice before he played?
Yeah, he tore his Achilles.
Tore his Achilles, yeah.
He's got his own baggage. He's not Antonio Brown bad.
No.
So if you bring him in, give him a chance, and he's going to mouth off, you let his ass go.
Yeah,
you have to have a senior quarterback who's in charge. Brady could probably handle him, or guys of that ilk, where it is clear the team says he's in charge. If you're mouthing off to him, you're making
gone.
Your own bed.
Yep.
You want to play, you figure out how to get along with him. That's your job.
Somebody said Dez of the 49ers.
Yeah, I don't know if they're looking that way, though. They just got Emmanuel Sanders. They just dropped 51 on Sanders' first game. I don't think the Niners are thinking about Des Bryant. Maybe I'm off on that. Maybe they will, but they seem to be pretty good offensively right now.
So there you go. There's some NFL news and notes for you, man. There's a lot going on in the National Football League. Antonio Brown losing his mind. You have Kareem Hunt that is back. Guys that are sitting out, not playing. Patrick Mahomes is playing. Baker Mayfield shaving his mustache. The league, man, it never, never stops. There you go. Some NFL news and notes for you. We'll make our picks coming up at the top of the hour on who we think is going to win this weekend with our Pro Football Challenge. That is coming up at 2. The shady nature that recruiting has fallen under. We'll get into that story coming up next. Crunch Time on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains.
Feels great, baby.
Feels great, baby. You got that right, Jimmy.
Feels great, baby.
Hey, Aaron, what's up?
Are they dating yet?
Has that been confirmed? Is he moved on from the porn stars?
Calm down.
Sorry, Karen. Sorry, Karen.
That was probably the porn star he dated.
I never lay big wood.
Oh, Jimmy G's laying big wood all the time.
Yeah, he for sure
Are
is.
Are you kidding me? Have you Googled the porn star that he hung out with?
My zest for life is just at an all-time high.
Just for show research purposes, yeah. I mean, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, you know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a disgusting thing to publicly admit, but I only dove in for 2.5 hours.
I digress.
At first.
Wife walked in. What are you watching?
What is this? What is happening here?
It's for one segment tomorrow. Don't worry.
My favorite porn story. I can't say
you
names.
You have a favorite porn story?
Well, this one just makes me laugh every time. But I will never say a name, so I didn't even try and get a name out of me. But I had a buddy whose wife was like taking a shower or something, and he was like sitting in the living room. Just look, you know, a little bored, you know, a few minutes on his hands.
His wife's showering, and his thought is, oh, she's not around. I can watch porn for 10 minutes.
Exactly. Okay. Normal guy.
All right.
And so he put it up on the TV, but they have like a Bluetooth speaker, apparently, that's connected to the TV.
Oh, yeah.
And she had the Bluetooth speaker in the bathroom.
Mm.
And it took him a good 30 to 40 seconds to figure out that the volume wasn't coming out in the living room, that it was playing somewhere else in the house. And then she asked, what was that? I heard like a moaning sound. Is everything okay? Like she, I don't know. She probably knew, but it never came to
a head. Did
he
think on his feet? No, I was watching a Sharapova tennis match. That's where you got to go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, women's tennis. That's not bad.
That's a good theory. I've had this happen to me, but not with porn. Because we have like 3 Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah, you never know which one's playing which, man.
Yeah, when
which
you don't know.
What, to.
Yeah, because sometimes your phone will connect before their phone. And so sometimes they grab the wrong speaker, they take it in, they want to listen to music, they turn it on. Well, your phone's connected. So I've done that with Instagram.
Yeah.
Luckily, never done that with porn.
Better knock on wood if you're with me there, Bob. What was that? Oh, it's just tennis. Just watching tennis, honey.
I'm watching National Geographic.
Yeah. Something in the Amazon. I don't know. It's like hyenas getting it on, whatever.
Birth kit skimfa.
Okay, let's reel this back in. This is going on. This is a wild story. So Buck sent this over to us, and it's a story on Yahoo.
Well, he said they talked about it this morning.
Or did they get to it today?
He was like, did you hear about the app? And I was like, no.
This is wild. So this came from Pete Thamel. He's the one that wrote it, and a couple other writers for Yahoo. The title of the story is, why has a privacy app used by Edward Snowden hit the NBA, NFL, and NCAA? It's a decent little headline. I'm going to click that story. Let's see what you got here, right? Well, essentially, there is an app out there that was created. It's called Signal, and it was created in 2010. And the funny thing is it was created to increase transparency in like political reporting for whistleblowers and that kind of stuff. And basically what it does is it immediately erases your communications. So text messages, phone calls, things that you send to somebody else, erase them immediately. And that was the original creation was used to help whistleblowers, political people, all that kind of stuff.
Can't trace it either.
Can't trace anything. It takes a lot of work, and it's like the security community's gold standard is what Edward Snowden has called it. So they use this stuff to hide all of their information. Well, funny thing is, there's this whole tampering thing going on in professional sports. You know, like, are you contacting people when you shouldn't be contacting people? Did you send a message when you shouldn't send a message? That's been going on. And then, of course, we know how shady the NCAA is. We don't even need to get into that with the FBI investigating, all that kind of stuff. That apparently this has become a widespread thing in professional and college sports that athletic directors, coaches, boosters, all these people are using to communicate with each other through their illegal activities and make sure that there's no trace of the messages that they're sending.
Well, this is kind of a, unfortunately, I actually feel really bad for Boost Mobile today because this might be the end of the burner phone.
Poor Boost.
There's no more chirping going on. It is now an app that you download. Why would you ever need to get a different phone? You just get your current phone, you take the app, and you start conversing with different people on different topics. I think this is probably the most prominent in college, though. And if you think it's somewhere else, we're just going to disagree on that. If you don't think programs are contacting family members of these players who are either being recruited or they want to transfer, I think you're way too naive. College has always been kind of toeing that line, and a lot of programs probably step over that line tremendously. But now you have an app where everybody can use it and the message will be disappeared and nobody can trace it.
Right.
Why would you ever need a burner phone?
Yeah, public schools and college sports, it's emerged essentially as an outlet to avoid detection from Freedom of Information Act requests. Because usually when something's going down at a university, whatever, you request all the documents, the text messages, you got to turn over your cell phone, all that kind of stuff. And if you have anything on there, either it's been scrubbed and that stands out immediately because why'd you delete 10,000 text messages, or the stuff's still on your phone and you're going to get in trouble for it. It's viewed as the safest encryption app available on the market.
Well, for now.
For now. And there's one high ranking in this story. There's a high ranking college athletic official that is quoted in the story saying the general counsel at our university encouraged us to get Signal. There's auto delete based on the rules that you set. It helps us avoid freedom of information requests. It's become the main method of communication between the administration and our athletic staff.
Oh, yeah. That's why you get Signal at a college program, is so your messages to your coworkers can disappear without being found.
So,
because that makes so much sense. Instead of sending an email, hey, guys, it's going to be Raise the Loaf Day. You want to send a message that's going to be deleted quickly. That's a total BS answer. I don't buy it for a minute. They are using this in college just like they're using this in the NBA, the NFL, baseball, whatever. They're using this to tamper. They're using this to contact, not get caught, and move on. Why does that make any sense to anybody that a college official who doesn't want to put his name on a quote says they use it within the athletic department? Why would you need that app?
Unless everything you're doing is illegal inside the athletic department. He's just owning up to doing everything illegal, and that's why he didn't want his name on it. But you did get me thinking there, though. Can we raise the loaf tomorrow in Corvallis? Can we bring that back for the night? It's a big game.
I haven't been to a game yet. I don't know if they've raised the loaf yet.
Raise the loaf. Raise the loaf.
That was, coincidentally, when I found out about raising the loaf. I was at the Oregon State-Washington game.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of being bludgeoning, and I looked up, and they're like, all right, Research Stadium!
On your feet!
Raise the loaf! And I thought, it's 28-0. Why are we doing this?
I don't want to raise a loaf. I view this essentially as steroids in Major League Baseball. People are always going to cheat.
Yeah, sure.
There's always going to be, you're always looking for an edge, a way to beat your competitor. Nobody hardly at all does it above board, so you're always looking for an angle. That's the way steroids has turned into. It's not your normal run-of-the-mill steroids. You're taking all sorts of diluted substances and trying to stay ahead of the curve. What can't they test for right now? And this is the new thing with cheating in basketball. Or not basketball, but just college athletics and professional athletics.
Basketball uses it too.
Sure, they do, yeah. And this is their way around it. Hey, you want our messages here? Yeah, we haven't done anything illegal. Here's all of our messages from the last 5 years. See? Nothing to see there. But they were all deleted. So they're using this app called Signal to scrub their communications. It's a wild story on Yahoo. And that's where you can find it. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with 6 locations to serve you. Coming up in the final hour, dare I say the Raiders are a good little football team and got a chance for a win tonight.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Is that too soon? Am I proclaiming that too soon?
I think tonight might be able to answer that question for you.
They've had a really tough schedule.
Well, they've been on the road.
They played Minnesota, Indy, Houston.
I like this game tonight.
Blazers are back in action against the Clippers, who lost last night, but Kawhi Leonard is fresh. We'll get into that coming up a little bit. We have some poll questions to answer as well, but we start the final hour, as we do every Thursday, with the Pro Football Challenge. Our picks to the National Football League are next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.